Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
The subject of gifted kids comes up often in education. We've reached a point in our society where nobody questions the need to provide education for those with learning disabilities that place them at the lower end of the spectrum. But many times, particularly in rural communities, the kids who are academically gifted or have talent in other areas are pretty much left to fend for themselves. As I was reading about these kids and the kinds of environment they require in order to flourish, I couldn't help thinking about animals, and particularly dogs. I think if you ask most people what kind of dog they would like, most of them would say they want a really smart dog. The idea being that a smart dog will be easier to train and be less work for us. But is that necessarily true? When I read the different studies about gifted kids, I came to the conclusion that maybe we're creating the same problem for those gifted dogs that we are for those gifted kids. And that is that if they don't have the opportunities, if they don't have the mentoring and the guidance, they're not going to do very well. Put them in standard classroom and no opportunities for accelerated growth, no opportunities to do their own thing, to use their creativity and their problem-solving skills, and they're going to get bored. How bored? It appears that kids who are academically gifted do better when they're accelerated as much as 2 to 3 years compared to kids who are only accelerated a year. But again, that requires a support system. If they don't get that opportunity, then unfortunately all of that passion and persistence that's normally part of their makeup gets channeled in the wrong direction. It reminds me of some Australian cattle dogs and working border collies I've seen who are in pet homes. All the training in the world isn't going to help these dogs if it's the same training given to every other dog. No amount of agility is going to make up for the mindset that would go out and herd every day in all kinds of weather. If the animals bred to work have trouble making this kind of transition to our much less intellectually stimulating environments, what about all those dogs that we're bringing in that have been raised in the woods or in the fields or on the streets? For generations, their population has had to solve all kinds of problems to find food, to find shelter, to learn how to manipulate humans, to live in a human environment, to maximize whatever they can get from people while giving the minimum back, forming special, sometimes incredibly complex social structures that have nothing to do with having a good dog buddy or little brother, but everything to do with survival. When we take these animals in, what are we offering them, given their potential, given their street smarts? But being only humans, a lot of times we don't think about things that way. We think, oh, they've been through so much, this will be a piece of cake. They'll have no problems with this. But maybe we need to reframe that. Maybe instead of thinking, oh, this will be a piece of cake, they'll have no problems with this, we should think, are they going to be able to numb themselves enough to succeed in this mental environment? And if not, what are we going to have to do to provide the daily environment that this animal evolved to handle so that this animal can have a quality life? Sometimes in the dog world, this is referred to as being too much dog. Are you willing to provide that dog with the environment, the guidance, the opportunity to use all of that potential? If you're not, are you willing to accept the responsibility for the problems that may arise if you don't? Like kids, each dog, each animal deserves to be wanted for what he or she is. Not for what we think that animal is, not for what we want that animal to be, but for what that animal is right now. And if we take that animal, that's a package deal. We're going to get the mind that goes with that animal. And if it's a gifted mind, if it's a mind that demands more of us, we're going to have to become much greater humans in order to meet the needs of these extraordinary animals.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.